Hello, and welcome to the Strengthening the Soul of Your Leadership podcast. I'm your host, Ruth Haley Barton, and I'm here today to really wrap up our season on the deepest place, the formation of hope in the midst of our suffering, and also to invite us into the significance of these next holy days. I think for myself, this has been a very, very enriching season. And I know I've even learned a lot about what it means to open up my suffering in such a way that God can do a transforming work in me. And I'm praying that as we enter into these next few days where we walk with Jesus into his suffering, into his crucifixion, into his humiliation and death, that our season prepared us to walk with Jesus very openly and allow Jesus to teach us whatever he needs to teach us and wants to teach us about the role of suffering in the spiritual life. We know from this season that there is a unique role that suffering does play in our spiritual transformation, that there is the suffering that happens to us. There is the suffering that we do to ourselves by the stories that we tell and the meaning that we make about the things that have happened to us in our lives. And then we also know that part of the spiritual formation journey is that there will be suffering that has to do with our own sin patterns and negative patterns that need to be purged and stripped away, that purgation is part of the spiritual formation journey, and suffering is sometimes the only thing that is really strong enough and powerful enough to strip us of those ways in which we are depending on ourselves and instead of surrendering ourselves to God as Jesus did so completely in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then there are also the times and the places in which we are called to suffer with Christ when we are standing for what is right and also doing what God has asked us to do. And sometimes that kind of suffering is what we would call unmerited suffering, which was clearly what Jesus went through in these next holy days, that his suffering was unmerited. He did not deserve it. It was not punishment at all. As Kurt said so beautifully, it was Jesus entering fully into our human experience, including the suffering that is part and parcel of the human experience. And Jesus entered all the way in to be one with us in that place, at one-ment. I want us to carry that word into our season, that what we are experiencing with Jesus during the next several days is Jesus being at one with us, wanting to be inside every aspect of the human experience, including the experience of suffering, and that his life demonstrates to us the redemptive power of suffering, the fact that our suffering can actually become a source of life for ourselves and for others, and it can become a place of intimacy between us and God. And so even though these are dark days, these are days that can feel very weighty and maybe in some cases heavy, I hope that you enter into them with a sense of the intimacy that's possible between you and Jesus as we walk this way. And we take so seriously this invitation to walk with Jesus during these holy days that for us, part of the practice involved with that is the practice of walking the stations of the cross. And we have a particular way that we do that here in the Transforming Center. There is a prayer experience that we've developed that we do together here as a part of our practice during these holy days, and we invite you into that if you would like. You can find the resource for praying and walking with Jesus to the cross. You can find that in our show notes, and you can find those resources in our bookstore. But I believe that this is a significant spiritual practice for us during these days to, in a very conscious way, walk with Jesus through Maundy Thursday, where Jesus is telling his disciples what's going to be happening to them, and he serves them by washing their feet. He actually gives them another picture of what the spiritual life is really all about. And then he enters into the betrayal of his disciples as his dearest friends betray him. That's also a part of human suffering. We as human beings are never perfect with each other, so some of us might be facing some of the betrayals that we've experienced in our own life during this time. We might resonate with Jesus' experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we are with Jesus and present with Jesus as he asks us to stay awake. When he says, "Could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour?" We stay awake with Jesus. And we see him wrestle to surrender to the will of God in his life. And he and God wrestle it to the ground. Jesus sweats great drops of blood in wrestling with God's purposes. He actually says to God, "Is there another way? Couldn't I fulfill your purposes for me in another way besides having to go through this suffering?" But he and God wrestle it down to the mat. And once Jesus understands that this is the way it's going to need to be, then he gets up and he sets his face resolutely towards Jerusalem, where he knows he will be crucified. He endures great humiliation and suffering during that time. And so we walk with him there too. And we wonder, what does it mean for me that the Lord of the universe had to walk through this kind of humiliation and suffering? What does that mean for my journey and for my life? How does that help me to make sense of my own story? How does it help me to make sense of my own suffering? And then the final moments of his death on the cross and the words that he says from the cross. All of these are events in Jesus' life that we seek to participate in during these horrific days, but also these beautiful days of walking intimately with Jesus on our way to resurrection. So I just want to encourage you to walk perhaps even more openly with Jesus during these days, now that we've had this amazing season with Kurt talking about the way in which suffering can form a durable hope within us, to see this as a deep season of transformation for us, and even these next few days to see them as a time of transformation, and to realize that the practice of the church is really to set aside everything else for the next 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That we see these as the highest holy days of the church. And if we could strip it down and strip these days down and actually do everything that we can to be present to Jesus throughout these days, that is what I would suggest. In fact, Kathleen Norris talks about the fact that these 3 days in the church are days when worship is really the only thing to be doing, if that is possible, or at least walking with Jesus through these days. So I invite you in the strongest way I can into the holiness of these days, and to see it as a spiritual practice to walk with Jesus through the events of these next days. And so now, my dear friends, I would like to give us a chance to sink and to settle into the scripture passage that we have walked through so deeply in this last season, and that we've unpacked phrase by phrase by phrase. And now I want to move beyond the words that Kurt and I have been saying back and forth to each other and to you, and now give us a chance to sink and settle into the scripture itself through a practice of Lectio Divina. And we're going to read it multiple times, as the practice encourages us to do. And I'm going to read just those very simple 5 verses from Romans 5, 1 through 5. And I'm going to read the passage. It'll be 5 times altogether, because in the first reading, I'll read it twice. And giving you a chance to let God speak to you directly in that spirit of the little boy Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. For us to let the message of this passage now sink and settle deeply into our hearts, and for the Holy Spirit to make the specific application to our lives that only the Holy Spirit knows how to make. So I'm going to walk you through. I know many of you are familiar with Lectio Divina. I'll just walk you through as simply as I can, leaving space open for that interaction between us and God after each and every move. You might remember that in our final episode of the podcast season that I talked with Kurt about the fact that there's a particular phrase in this passage that I resist oftentimes when I hear it, that phrase, "and hope does not disappoint," because it raises up all my questions about the times when my hopes have been disappointed. And I'm bringing that up to you right now to mention that as we move through the Lectio process, that it's important to pay attention to the places of resonance, we might say warmth, or a sense of, oh, that's true, or a sense of comfort, but also to be really responsible to pay attention to resistance. In this passage in particular, I have a real resistance to that phrase. And so what I'm going to do in the Lectio process is to pay attention to my resistance. And in the silence that follows the third move in particular, to let God interact with me and to let there be a dialogue between me and God about the resistance that I feel when I hear that phrase. So I'm hoping that you get both, maybe, that you get some resonance, some feeling of warmth, that God is really active in this scripture passage for you today, but also that you're brave and face into the places where you feel your resistance as well. Because when we feel our resistance and we can acknowledge our resistance, then God and I are in a conversation. And we are in a conversation that God is initiating, because I probably would have wanted to avoid my resistance today. But when I'm in this process, then God can make sure that we're talking about what God knows we need to talk about. So I'm excited for all of us as we now enter into a process and a practice of Lectio Divina, divine reading, with the passage from Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. So let me invite you first to begin by hopefully pulling your car over if you're driving or setting aside some time for this experience. But get your body into a position that's comfortable and open and receptive. I prefer to have my back straight, to have my feet flat on the floor, to have my hands open on my lap as a way of saying to God, with everything that's in me, I'm open to what you have for me in these moments. I'm open to receive. I'm letting go of what I usually am clinging to, and I'm opening up to the gifts that you want to give me, the interaction that you want to have with me through this passage. So take a couple of deep breaths as a way of preparing yourself and clearing out the inner space. And as you breathe, maybe connect with your breathing, that simple little prayer from Samuel, "Speak, Lord," on the inhale, on the exhale, "for your servant is listening." Do that a couple times. Now in this first reading, I'm going to read it twice, and in this first reading, you're to listen for the word or the phrase that strikes you. You're not going to think about the word, you're not going to analyze the word, you're not going to try to make application of the word, you're just going to listen for the word or the phrase that strikes you, and then in the silence that follows, you're just going to savor the word, you're just going to be present to it. You're not going to try to do anything with it, but you're just going to be present to the word, and you're going to savor it like the words of love in a love letter, words that you've been waiting to hear, words that you might need to hear, and you're just going to receive them and savor them. That's all you're going to do in the silence. So here we go. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And now in the silence, just savor the word or the phrase that has been given to you. And now in the second reading, you're to listen for the way in which your life is touched by this word. Not just generally, but in a specific way. What in your life today needs to hear this word? And then in the silence that follows, you're just going to sit with your awareness and let that word speak to the place in your life that needs to be spoken to today. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And now in the third reading, you're going to listen for the invitation or the challenge that God has for you within this word that you've received. And you may remember that the silence that follows this particular movement is going to be a little bit longer, and the reason for that is so that there can be a dialogue between you and God about what you're hearing in this word, the invitation or the challenge, so that you can have an honest response to God, so that whatever you're feeling, whatever you're thinking about relative to the challenge or the invitation, you and God can have a dialogue about that. So maybe there is a challenge and you want to say to God, I just can't do that. Are you kidding me? I can't do that. Or maybe you feel a sense of God's love or a sense of God's faithfulness to you on your transformational journey. Maybe God brings to you an awareness of your own suffering and how your suffering is producing a durable hope within you, or how your suffering, as painful as it's been, has also contributed to your growth, and you just feel the deepest kind of gratitude. Maybe you even cry a little bit because you realize that this thing that's been so hard has also been a gift for you, and you just let yourself feel the full gift of what suffering has been, even though it's been so hard. Or maybe you have a sense of God just affirming your journey, you know, that you have been on the journey of letting suffering produce endurance, letting endurance produce character, and letting character produce hope in your life. Maybe there's something specific that comes to you. You know, we talked in our season about some very specific ways of entering in to the formation of hope, participating with God or cooperating with God in the formation of hope in and through our suffering. And so maybe there was a really particular invitation that's come back to you now here. And you and God just need to talk about it a little bit. Maybe there's a really deep yes. Maybe you feel your yes just rising up within you. Yes, God, that is my next step. And I'm committed to taking my next step. I don't know what it will be between you and God, but in the silence that follows this reading, listen for the invitation or the challenge, and then you and God have a conversation about it. This might be a moment also where you want to pull out a journal and actually write a little bit. God, I hear you saying to me. God, I hear you inviting me to. God, I hear you challenging me to. And just let your pen go with not only God's invitation to you, but how you are responding. This is the time for your response. This is the back and forth in an intimate interchange between you and God. So here is the third reading. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And now in this fourth reading, after you have allowed your emotions to play out, after you've given your full response to God and you've heard God respond back to you, however much time you've needed for that, now we're going to read it one last time. And in this last reading, you're invited to rest yourself in God. This is the place where you trust that the God who is calling you to this will do it. You drop into a deep place of faith and trust that you are not alone in what God is inviting you to. You are not alone on this journey. In particular now, you're not alone in your suffering, but God is with you, and maybe there are people also that you are aware of who are also with you and witnessing your journey, witnessing how hard it is, affirming the race that you're running, affirming the hard work that this is. This is why we haven't shied away this season from the idea of the work, because it is work. and it's hard work sometimes. But in this reading, I want to give you just a space to rest. Rest yourself in God. Rest yourself in the one who is doing the real work. The work that you're doing is opening up. God is doing the real work of your transformation and the formation of hope, even in the midst of your suffering. And so at the silence that follows, just let yourself rest in God. Breathe deeply. Trust that the God who has given you this word is the God that will bring this word to pass in your life as you seek to incarnate it as you go forth. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. So friends, as we enter into these next holy days, I would like to offer up a prayer for all of us that we will walk with Jesus in transforming ways during these days. And then feel free to linger if you and God are still interacting about the passage and what you've heard from God in Romans 5. Feel free to linger as long as you need to in order to really capture how God is leading you and how God is speaking to you as we enter into these days. This is from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.